Would you pray with me? Father, we ask you again this evening, to speak to our hearts, how we praise you for your clear word of truth, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, living word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would bring that deep within our hearts this evening and teach us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Joshua is called, I think, three times in Deuteronomy. Well, it's not just to Joshua in Deuteronomy, but in Joshua to be strong and courageous. And so we're going to look at this evening, how can we be strong and courageous? Before we take that on, though, let's look at some background. If you turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. We want to see we're in a transition period here with Joshua. And we're going to read Joshua 1, verse 1. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant." Okay, and what we've had is Joshua has been under preparation to assume the leadership. Now, most of us probably know also that that Joshua has been commissioned to lead the children of Israel into the promised land because of Moses' frustration and anger with the children of Israel. And they pushed him over the top and he got angry. And what did he take his staff and he slammed it into what? That rock to get the water. And he didn't honor God in that. And so God at the end took him on one of the mountains, said, "Look, you can see it." Moses really wanted to be able to go in. He said, "No." He said, "This is the way it is." But Joshua had been Moses' assistant for some time. In Exodus 24:13, it says, "So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God." In Exodus 33:11, it says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." Moses was Joshua's mentor. And this was by God's design that he was right there with him. Now, the reason that Joshua had that place was because of his faithfulness to God. And Joshua had been Moses' assistant. Joshua was one of two men to survive the wilderness death march because he and Caleb were wholly followed the Lord. If you remember the story, the first times where this is going to present itself in Joshua 1 is they're at the banks of the Jordan again. But this is not the first time they've been there. This is not the first time that God has led his people to the banks of the Jordan, getting ready to cross over. The first time, they didn't make it. They just could not believe God. The God, whoever he was, whatever remnants of their idols and their idolatrous worship of Egypt had hung on, they just could not bring themselves to believe God, to trust him, to carry them into the promised land. And so this is the second time around, but that first time around, if you'll remember, they did send spies on a reconnaissance venture. And Joshua was one of 12 men, and they were all leaders in Israel. Joshua, but only two came back in the strength and the courage of the Lord, Joshua and Caleb. The other 10, because of their weakness of faith, because of the poor leadership they provided, they sparked fear and trembling. They brought weakness to the children of Israel, and they were dismayed. "Oh no, we can't do this. There are giants in the land. Yes, the land is wonderful. It's everything God said it would be, but there's just no way that we can do it." They said, "We looked." They said, "We're like grasshoppers in their eyes." You know, that's just a little bit of a sidetrack there. That's, you know, we all feel like that at times, don't we? Like we're insignificant. Sometimes we just feel extra weak or just whatever it might be, the situation that we're in, but it's not our greatness, it's not our strength, it truly is God's. But they couldn't believe God, and so what the Lord said was it everyone over 20 years old or 21 years and older? He sent them packing. He said, you're not going to go into the promised land. The next day they said, oh, we're sorry. Can we have a do-over? And they took it on themselves then to go and try to march into the land, and they were soundly beaten. God sent them out to wander 40 days or 40 years in the wilderness, and he said, every one of you will die because of your heart of unbelief. And except Joshua and Caleb, and it says in Numbers 14:38, of those men who went to spy out the land, only Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive. And in Numbers 32:12, it said, none except Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun. And it was talking about those who had died in the wilderness. None survived except for these two. And here's a key. For they have wholly followed the Lord. For they have wholly followed the Lord. It's very easy, these phrases that God gives us. God is very specific in communicating his word to us, and these things that make us tick spiritually. And it says, these two men, what was it brought them through these things? Why did they survive? Because they wholly followed the Lord. There wasn't plan B. There wasn't plan B. We'll go into the promised land, and hey, if it doesn't look so great, we've got plan B. No, it was plan A. This is where God said to go. This is where we're going. They came back, and they said, sure, there's giants in the land, but hey, our God can do this. And God told them that he would. He told them, I'll go before you. They had seen him fight for them. He said, just watch this. I'll take care of this group. We had seen this, but they just could not bring themselves to believe God. So we see Joshua had been Moses' assistant. Joshua was one of two men to survive the wilderness death march because he and Caleb were wholly followed him. And Joshua was commissioned by Moses under the direction of the Lord for leadership. And we find that in Numbers 27, verses 18 to 20. It says, so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight. You shall invest him with some of your authority, that all the congregation of the people of Israel may obey. So we see, we see different people, and they're groomed for a position. And there's more background info, but this gives us a really good overview, a really good outline of the preparation that God spoke to Moses. He said, this is what you're going to do with Joshua. He's going to be your assistant, your understudy. You're going to be his mentor. We're going to do things in front of the whole congregation so that they understand when Moses is gone that God, there's not going to be a vote taken or any question. They're going to understand that it's Joshua who's assuming this leadership. So this then, it brings us back now to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, so after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Transition period is over. Joshua, you're up. Have you heard sports teams talk about, I know Randy has, next man up. Next man, and that's what this is, next man up. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. The Lord tells Joshua that it is time for him, Joshua, to assume his leadership and to be about the business of God. It's like, Joshua, Moses is gone. You've been prepared for this. Now get up, arise, and take these people across the Jordan. in verse 5, that, well, let me back up a minute. This is stuck in my mind. I think I've asked before, several of you are familiar with Theodore Epp. He was back to the Bible before Warren Wiersbe. It's been years ago. But I can't remember if I read it or if it was a recording too many years ago now. But he said that verse 3 is a definition of faith. Verse 3 is a definition of faith. He said when the Lord told Joshua this, that every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon have I given to you, just as I promised to Moses. And the promise was out there. Now, faith is when we believe God and they cross that Jordan, right? And this is what Theodore Epp was after. And we're going to see that can be a scary venture because God keeps repeating, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous, be strong and courageous. We see that the fear factor will be there. But here is faith, and we need to learn these lessons because it will work out in the exact way in our lives. When we step out in faith, there will be things to deter us from the path of God, from obedience. There will be fearful things if we don't allow the peace of God to rule our minds and hearts. Our thoughts will run away in anxiety. But we step forward, and that's going to be one of the big lessons that we learn from Joshua. So back now into the text in verse 5, the Lord affirms his support of Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And Joshua, here's something else because we become so familiar with the story. Do you remember when Solomon became king and he was just on the cusp of, they were just going through all of this, and it's like, and he prayed for wisdom and how to handle this great people because it just hit him, the enormity of the task, didn't it? Hit Solomon that way. I mean, we've got that going on now. You have to wonder if President-elect Trump has maybe had a moment or two where it's like, wow, I'm really the president of the greatest nation in the world come January 17th or whenever that is. I mean, you think about it. I'm not saying he's wavered. I'm just thinking that it's like, this was just a thought back here. Then it was something to follow through, but and now here, and I've got these people. Now, with us, this wasn't intended, but I'm going to go ahead and follow through because I think it's a good thought as we look at leadership of a nation. If this can be humbling enough, we pray, continue to pray for our country, and we pray for the humbling in this man's life. I know there's been a profession of faith. I shouldn't comment on the genuine nature of it or not, because I really don't know. But there has been people who have talked about that. But that if God humble him with the enormity of the task, and so it may be an opportunity, but regardless, we pray, don't we? But anyway, this is that Joshua has this huge task. Yes, he's been Moses' understudy. And he's been a very important figure, and God has given him prominence before the children of Israel. But this is way different, folks. Now the big boss is gone. Moses, I mean, this is Moses we're talking about. This Moses, it'd be talking about 2,000, 3,000 years later in the writings of Moses, the story of Moses. And now it's Joshua. And so God is giving him everything he needs. He said, you've been prepared. You've been called. You've been Moses' assistant. I've commissioned you. I've commissioned you in front of the people. I've transferred power so the people know what's going on. And then he tells him in verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And we don't get promises as far as commissioning, leading a nation, something like that. But God does give us promises as far as stepping out in faith and following through on what he would call us to. Each of us, he has something. And if there's not a certain amount of uncertainty or fear of the or the unknown, then it's not faith. And here's the amazing thing about that is, but when we do believe God and we step out, we are stronger and more courageous than we have ever been when we trust God, because he doesn't rise to the occasion. That's a wrong way of putting it, but in our minds, the greatness of God. We've sung, "Great is thy faithfulness," the greatness of God. And these verses just, they reverberate, they resound, they ring true in our lives, the greatness of God. And then in verses 6 to 9, and now we're getting, it's all good stuff, but this is the really good stuff. And verses 6 to 9, the Lord commands Joshua to be strong and very courageous. The Lord commands Joshua to be strong and very courageous. Reading in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, I was outlining this, and I was writing the first one. It said, be strong and courageous. And I wrote down, God calls them to be strong and courageous. Now, and then I thought, well, maybe he's commanding. So in my notes, I'm putting my notes in. God calls / commands them, because I got the words down. See, that's what I've been teaching in Sunday school. If you have a thought, write that thought down. You may not use it later, but you have it written down, because a lot of times you have an insight, possibly, and you don't write it down, and you're thinking, now, what was that? So I write it down. So I put, God calls / commands them to be strong and courageous. Well, then I get to verse 17. Only be strong and very courageous. So I write down very similar. I write down, God calls / commands them to be strong and very courageous. Okay, and then I get down to verse 9, and I had one of those, well, I could have had a V8 moment. I had one of those, oh, the light bulb came on, because I'm debating, is he calling or commanding? In verse 9, what's it say? Have I not commanded you? Well, I didn't have any more debate than that. I knew what he was doing. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? And this is really a tremendous key, because it's one thing to, oh, be strong and courageous. Yes, I want to please God. I want to be strong and courageous. How do I do that? How do I do that? See, there is, and I don't want to just sling these terms around, but there's the abstract truth. It's the concept. And the concept is, be strong and courageous. But the concrete is then when you understand the abstract, the concept, and you put it into action, that's the concrete. And until you have both of those together, you can't just have the concept. And you can't just have it, we're going to go out and do this because it seems like the thing to do. No, it's the right direction as given by the Word of God, and then it's the right act of righteousness that follows through. It's that combination. So I'm thinking, if I can kind of get a handle on this and share it with the folks on Sunday evening, this has got to be really encouraging. So I thought, well, where do I start? Well, where I start a lot of times, and I think you've probably picked this up enough, that I start defining the words. Well, tells me to be strong. What's it mean to be strong? Tells me to be courageous, what it means to be. You know what's funny? Have you ever had a word Like if I ask you to define strong, and it's kind of, well, I know what it means, but can you come back to me a minute on that one, you know, and I'll tell you what it means. And so I hit the dictionaries a lot, and I hit, you know, and I looked at my commentaries, and it just, that wasn't much help. I said, well, the Hebrew word, and it's used this many times, but it still just left it, the be strong, be courageous. Now, I did get a good hint in the commentaries, because one person said that, looking at what it means to be courageous, it means to be resolute. And that's really good. That's really good thought to have when you're thinking of being courageous. And so, anyway, back to pouring over and then coming back and writing things down and summarizing, trying to put it in my words, things I could communicate, and going back and bringing more in. Well, here's what I come up to. We've commanded to be strong and resolute, but what does this mean? And how do we do this? To be strong. And now these are things that of what I was searching for. I could just throw a definition out. But I don't want you sitting there, but how can I really this week? Because see, this wasn't just to Joshua, was it? Anytime God sets before, we are on a journey. We're not coming to the physical promised land like Israel was. But there's promises, there's territory, figuratively, to be conquered in the name of our Lord. And so I need to understand this concept to be strong and courageous. So again, I think they're things that you can put your hands on. And you can say, hey, this is what this means. And then from these definitions, then we're right in the text, and it's like, yep, there it is, right there. So let's get to it, Dave. To be strong means having force of character, will, morality, or intelligence, capable of withstanding force or pressure, solid, tough, firm, having force of conviction or feeling, uncompromising. Now, here's something else that I ran into, and I did run into this, the guy studying the Hebrew here. They talked about the similarities of these words. And these two words, strong and courageous, they're right there together. They complement each other. In fact, you could almost say, be strong in your courage, or be strong in your resolution. And so it means to have force of character. Able to withstand force or pressure. To be courageous means to be undeterred by danger or pain or loss. Okay, you keep going. Everyone is, we have read this stuff, and you've seen what's supposed to be John Wayne's definition of fear, and you get knocked off the horse. What's fear? You get on your horse and you saddle up and you ride anyway, something like that. All of those were familiar with that, but that's what courage is. Everyone faces fear. Now, you're going to see what we have to go on that's more than what everybody else has through the Word of God, but it says to be resolute. Now, when I hit resolute, I thought, now I'm cooking with gas. Okay? To be resolute means to be purposeful, determined, and unwavering. Firm or determined. Firm in purpose or belief, steadfast, and then repetition, but marked by firm determination. Firm, purposeful, determined, unwavering. So now let's go back to our text in verse 6. Be strong. Have strong character. Be determined. Be purposeful. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Well, God's going to repeat it. He says, be strong and very courageous, or very resolute. See, God sets things before us. Being strong and courageous means that we do not take our eye off of that goal that God sets before us. He sets before us the opportunity to honor Him in everything that we do. He sets before us the opportunity to serve him here on this in the darkness and speak of his marvelous light, his gospel to people. And so we have these things that he calls us to, and this firmness, resolutely we will follow. We will stay on that path. He says, and here's where we see this in the scripture, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. God is giving Joshua his marching orders. He's telling him to be strong and very courageous, to be resolute. And what is he to be resolute in? Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. The Word of God, the Bible, unswerving determination and resolve to follow the Word of God, to understand what it's saying. One man, he said that this means then that we study God's Word to know what it means. He said, if we're not studying, to find out what it means, to find the details, he said, is disobedience to God. He said, do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Strong and resolute in our obedience to all of the Word of God. And we will be tempted to veer from the course, because the course that God will take us will be, in one way or another, at one time or another, we will be on a collision course with this world. And how are we going to be strong and courageous? Are we going to be resolute in the purposeful in pursuing and the will of God and honoring him in that? It goes on in verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. What's this talking about? How can we be strong and courageous? Well, we're going to follow God's word. Well, okay, we've got that part down. I'm going to follow your word, Lord. I'm going to not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. And what else? I am going to immerse myself in your word. Isn't that what this is speaking of here? That the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. We don't take time outs and, well, this is how I think or talk over here. I'm in church or I'm having devotions or whatever. No, it's like this book, the instruction in this book does not depart from our mouth, but you shall meditate on it. It doesn't depart from our mind. You shall meditate on it day and night so that, and this will be reminiscent of this morning of the paying careful attention, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. This is how we're strong and courageous. We find out what God is saying in his book. We immerse ourselves in it. And then we follow through. We stay with his purpose. You know, we have that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided, though no one join me. It can get to that, can it? It doesn't matter. We follow. We are resolutely going to follow. One commentator wrote, the command in verse 7 to be strong and very resolute is to ensure Joshua's scrupulous obedience to the law of Moses. Now, I kind of know what scrupulous means, and you probably, know but what it means, but I looked it up in the dictionary. Imagine that. To be scrupulous, and it really gave insight, and it just fits what the Lord is telling Joshua here, to be scrupulous. Now, I just read that quote again. Be very resolute to ensure Joshua's scrupulous obedience. Okay? His obedience. What is it about Joshua's obedience that this man is highlighting? To be scrupulous means to be diligent. His diligent obedience. To be thorough. His thorough obedience. He said, and scrupulous means to be extremely attentive to details. So he's attentive to details in his obedience. It means careful, so he was careful in his obedience. It means meticulous. It means painstaking. It means thorough, and it means rigorous. All of those things in his obedience to the word of God. How, when God says be strong and very courageous, this is how. We determine that it's God's word. We don't move to the right from it. We don't move to the left from it. And we plunge into it. I gave illustration this morning. Somebody asked, how you doing? I'll say, I'm doing pretty good, but I don't ask too many questions. I know I don't want to wear this thing out, but it fits again tonight somewhat. And the joke is, well, if something is starting to go wrong, don't really want to know about it. And we do sometimes have that attitude. We don't want, because if we would just as soon not have so many details sometimes. But the Bible is very specific. And folks, if you want to honor God, if you want to answer the call of your Lord to be strong and courageous, then you will immerse yourselves in the details. This is our template right here. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. It'll just crowd everything else out, all of the opinions and all of the media nonsense. And sometimes as Christians we want, oh, this book is really interesting. I'm not saying not to read that. Just don't let it crowd out your time in the Word of God, and don't bring that stuff that you got from that extra biblical source, whether it's true or not, or wherever it is, come out and crowd out in your mind the truth, because we're always, as humans, we're just too often, I should say, we're looking for a way out. We're looking for a way to rationalize. See, this approach does day and night meditate. We immerse ourselves so that we may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Come what may. That's got to be there. Come what may. Jesus said, follow him. Are you willing to take up your cross? He said, if you're not, he said, you're not worthy of me. Is it worth dying for? It is worth dying for. Now here's the marvelous part about that, and the wonder that comes in on this path of Jesus. You believe these things and you follow through, and then they just magnify in your mind. And you see more and more, and you get closer and closer to that picture of the psalmist in Psalm 46 when he said, the earth can tremble and the mountains can fall in the sea. But God is my strength, my refuge, my help in time of trouble. That's what I'm after, that God is there. This is reminiscent also of Paul's writing to Timothy. I told Timothy, He quoted 2 Timothy 2:15 for us. And this teaching here in Joshua 1 is reminiscent of Paul writing to Timothy. And I'll read this in the New American Standard. Be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. See, God is in these details. He will speak very specifically to us. And just to close this evening, we walk in the power of God. He tells us to be strong and courageous. We walk in the power and the courage of God when we walk in obedience to God. See, that's what this is all about, it's an obedient walk. It's an obedient walk. And when we walk in this obedient walk, when we follow through, then we are strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. If you'd pray with me. Thank you, Lord, again for your word of truth. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.